Greetings, dear listener. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to episode 19. Just going to get right to it this week. No monologue, no Only in Los Angeles moment. Just going to get right into the conversation with my oldest friend, James. We're going to talk quite a bit about, well, a little bit about growing up together, a little bit about California and the differences between California and New Jersey, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about online dating and the evolution of dating from when we were teens and into men in our early 30s. By the way, don't read anything into the fact that I'm playing a loose version of a Taylor Swift song underneath. It's just a song I was listening to recently, so there's no subtext there. But anyway, let's get right down to the chat I had with James. Enjoy it.
Yeah, you're just going to have to, you don't need to like eat the mic, but you got to kind of get up on it a little bit.
Right, like this?
Yeah.
Smells good.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes, you know, they say mic can smell like rotten eggs because
of bad breath.
Yeah.
Because of the showbiz people who come over and get
swilling
their
whiskey and
yeah, and their drug-addled breath is like, and any cocaine remnants that went up their nose are just drifted into the back of their mouth and cause an acidic. All right, I'm taking this too far already. So anyway, so James, my oldest friend.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Since we were 8 years old. Well, we met when we were seven. We turned eight shortly after in second grade. So seeing how we just turned 32, we've known each other 75% of our lives.
Wow, that's something.
It's insane.
75%.
I know. It's it's crazy.
I don't think we knew each other, but I believe we went to the same preschool. We both went to Emmanuel Lutheran.
Yeah, we weren't in the same class. There were, I think, two classes. I think it was like a morning and afternoon class. It was like a 3-hour preschool affair. And we grew up not too far from each other. So yeah, I think you went to the afternoon, I went to the morning.
Yeah.
Maybe the other way around.
Speaking of Emmanuel Lutheran, were you in the holiday show? Do you remember that? The Christmas show that they had? I played Old King Cole. do you remember what character you played?
An old 5-year-old.
Yeah. A little red candle I had to bring with me.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember if there was a play at all. I'd have to ask my mother's sister. They have steel trap minds. They remember everything.
The Wayback Machine.
Yeah. I have no idea. That's right. Yeah, we did both go to that preschool, but we didn't interact. Which is funny because we met in second grade, and we were in the same class through second, fourth, and sixth grade.
Yes.
Which is just a stupid coincidence. Yep. It doesn't mean anything, but it was kind of funny that during our even-numbered years of elementary school, our even grades, we were in the same class, which was, I don't know, was fun.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I barely saw you in third and fifth grade. Yeah. Don't know why. And the kind of stranger thing was that we had the majority of our classes when we first got into middle school or junior high, for those people who call it that. We had pretty much all our classes together. Eighth grade, we had like no classes together. And then for whatever reason, because I don't remember if there was anything discernible, but you moved away from Lakewood, where we both grew up, and you moved to the shore, and during high school, we hung out more than we'd ever had.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is funnier, because once you were not, I don't know, 2 miles away, we saw each other even more. And it's not like we weren't even driving until, you know, the later half of our junior year of high school. So it's not like for some reason we saw it. I mean, I remember spring break of freshman year, we literally spent 7 of the 9 or 10 days together. Like, we just kind of went back and forth to each other's houses. We'd be like at your house for 2 nights. You also had AOL too, which was the coup, because that was, you and I were able to go online and look at very slow loading scans of Playboy, you know, photos and look up weird stuff, because that was when the internet was in like its infancy as far as the public was concerned. So we would go on there and look at whatever was going on the AOL homepage.
Yeah.
I think that was part of the reason we probably spent more time at your house. But we literally spent almost our entire spring break just hanging out freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
Which was great.
That was a good time, too, to have a friend, because I moved to Point Pleasant. And within the first few weeks, I got into a fight.
Really?
And, yeah.
I don't remember this. It's because I'm getting old.
The guy I punched out happened to be one of the school board member's sons. So I got, even though he was definitely starting it.
You got the brunt of the punishment.
Brunt of it, but one of the things, you know, my parents were very, very, very strict.
Yeah.
And I remember when I told the story to my mother, I was very surprised that she 100% took my side.
Oh.
So it was, I felt like, wow, you know, mom gets it, because these guys, you know, this guy's kind of crossed the line. And I'm not really someone to let people pick on me. So I just had to draw the line somewhere. And that was enough. I was 100% in the right. And I think about it now, the person who, I mean, nobody ever messed with me ever again after that.
It's like prison. Yeah. you beat someone up the first day.
Yeah.
And then everyone leaves you alone.
Yeah, I got suspended. I knew I wasn't a bad kid, but.
Was that like, hey, new kid kind of thing? Was that what it was about?
It was worse than that. Well, what happened was one of the guys from my church was an altar boy. My parents, so in the summer, we moved. And one of the altar boys was there, and my brother had been an altar boy when he was like just for a really short period of time. My brother had been an altar boy, so I think we said something along the lines of like, "Hi," you know. And then when the school year happened, you know, I would say hello and talk to him, and he was at a grade above me, but his gym was scheduled with us.
Oh, okay.
And he was in my German class, and I was a year above because I went to Lakewood's language program, so I was ahead of everybody else.
Right, okay, so you'd already qualified into like the second level of German based on having taken it in middle school.
Yeah, and I kind of friendly to him, talked, sat down to him, and this guy was gay. And because he was gay and I was, you know, befriending him, you know, because I didn't know anybody. And
right.
This town, nobody was welcoming or interested in me at all. I'm not somebody to let people push me around.
Right.
And I asked them once or twice to stop, and they didn't. And, well, that's the story. Like I said, whoop some ass, and they don't ever mess with you again. But that guy turned out to be a pretty good acquaintance for me, you know.
Afterward?
I mean, I've seen him a couple times. No, not the guy I got into the fight with.
That guy
avoided the fuck out of me. The other guy, the guy who was being picked on, you know, and I remember I talked to him a few years ago, and he told me about horrible stuff that was happening to him in terms of being bullied and stuff like that, stuff I wouldn't have seen.
Really?
But, yeah, I mean, really bad stuff. So
I have to say, I think Point Pleasant
helped him a little bit.
As an outsider, I mean, because I didn't live there, but you can probably give more perspective. Well, you can definitely give more perspective on this than I can. But it seems like Point Pleasant was very insular. Like,
yes.
It really seemed like everybody, I guess, had grown up together and just had that. Yeah. It seemed more like it had, let's say, a community feel to it. Maybe it still does. But it had like a community feel, but not like a welcome to the neighborhood kind of community. It's just like, you're not from around here.
Yeah. especially from New Jersey, where mostly everybody is a generation or two separated from New York.
Yeah.
Or
the boat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of townies there and a lot of people whose parents went to high school there together. And now they have kids who are in high school. Everybody knew each other and they just didn't have that same need to, they just weren't interested. Like
yeah.
I said, the kids were just, they just weren't interested in getting to know you. They weren't necessarily rude, but at the same time, they just, I don't know.
Just standoffish.
Yeah. My brother was a year younger, and maybe because he went into high school with them, he was, or it could just be I'm weird. He was more social. He was
second.
Definitely more socially developed and everything than I was. But at the same time, I had a good time talking with some of these people. You know, I had a good time. I would talk a lot, but I never felt close to them.
Oh, I see.
You could probably edit out a lot
you
of that.
Be,
I just kind of rambled for
no reason. It's all right. You just felt social. Like you were social with people, but you didn't necessarily have like you didn't have a close friendship with anybody. But you can chat and you can kind of be just sociable with people. I get it.
Yeah, it was tough because like there was no cafeteria.
Really?
No, no cafeteria. The kids would just be let out for lunch. So it's like
wow, I couldn't imagine being 15 and just being able to leave.
I didn't have a bike, and my parents didn't see the purpose of me having a bike. They had like the old granny bikes that they loved to ride around in, but I felt like I would just, I mean, they were so slow. And
there would have been another ass-kicking bullseye pasted on your back
if
you rode up in a bike.
Yeah, so
that was, you know, at least a generation
old. You can only go off so many times, you know, by yourself. So I'd have to find some guys to be friends with. But I think the best thing to do, well, for me, the best thing for me was joining sports, because you know, you get to know people a little bit better that way.
Yeah, and you kind of have a bond too. I mean, you did track and field pretty much, right?
I did track and field. I did soccer. I did wrestling.
You did do wrestling. I
actually
tried
out for basketball, but because of a thing that just kind of a weird thing.
Okay, didn't happen. You're just going to take it out.
I had to quit. But wrestling was the hardest workout I had, and I mean, I couldn't believe how tiring. You know what? In some ways, it was more tiring than a lot of days in the Marine Corps, like as in boot camp and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God, it was so tiring. I had no idea how tired I could be. Yeah, I have the most respect for wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Because of that, and they don't really have much now. They have the UFC and maybe some odd tournaments, but there's no pro window. There's no professional windows for those guys that dedicate themselves. It's like somebody who's going to be a musician, where they're just going to dedicate themselves to a particular instrument.
Yeah,
and just for the total love of it, you know, love of the sport. So I have the most respect for them.
Well, guys, to do it like legitimate wrestling. I mean, it's kind of
legitimate wrestling.
Now it would be like. The equivalent might be, say, MMA, where those guys train, and it's almost like a lifestyle thing for them.
Yeah.
But there was no, we weren't aware, if it did exist, which it probably did in some form, circa 96 when we started high school, it wasn't something that we were aware of. But now it's become a thing that everybody kind of understands, the physicality it takes to do something like MMA. So, I mean, I can see that, because you really need to be, you can't half-ass it. No way. I mean, not if you're going to do well by it. If you just want to get in a drunken brawl with somebody, that's a little bit different than actually getting in an octagon trying to fuck someone up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with that. But, we saw each other in almost an inordinate amount for people who lived a half hour away.
Yeah, how did we get around to doing that? Did our parents drop us off?
I have no idea. I guess. They had to have.
Well, they had to, because there's no other way to get there. We're pretty far away from each other.
Yeah, you didn't have a bike, and it was too far for me to ride my bike.
It probably wasn't even safe to let a kid
No chance. Not from where I was to where you were. And there were no side streets or anything. You'd have to get on a state route, which was in no way safe, even if you were a teenager who'd been riding a bike for years. But I guess... Probably. I mean, it's not as if I certainly had, you know, a circle of friends in high school. So it's, but then again, I saw them all the time and I didn't see you as much. So I guess maybe it was more fresh for us to see each other, because we didn't see each other 5 days a week anymore.
Mm.
So it was more like there was probably more to talk about and there was more going on.
Yeah.
In as much as everything was new, because we were both having separate experiences. So when we got together, it was more just... It was just fresh, I guess.
I think we talked a lot on the phone, and I think I slept over quite a bit. Sleeping over my house is a little bit more complicated situation, because there's more people there. The house is smaller, and my parents are kind of more in your hair.
Well, yeah, and at the time, too, because you have a younger brother. Mm. And
my sister might have been staying there. I don't know.
I think... Because my sister, when we started high school, our freshman year of high school, she was a freshman in college.
Yeah, that's right.
So it was also more convenient for you to stay over, because it was just you and I.
Yeah.
I think your sister might have been commuting to school.
My sister was
school.
Commuting, or she was at OCC, one or the other.
Yeah, so she was still living at home. So I believe it was, three siblings. Your oldest brother had been out on his own by then. But it was still five people in your house. So me showing up with my...
Yeah.
You know, my Ozzy Osbourne T-shirt was probably less inviting.
Yeah,
I was very well liked, and I've always been very, very taken by your parents. They were always like a second. Your family has been just a second family to me, anyway.
Yeah, your parents, especially your mom, did an awful lot for me, over the years, and that was something I really appreciated. It was tough because my parents were stressed out, and because they're immigrants. You know, they just have a different expectation on the way things work.
Yeah.
And it was nice to be able to talk to an American mom about certain things. So it was, American mom and dad about certain things. So, it was huge, huge, very important. And I was always very thankful for them for doing that for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they loved having you around, obviously, because we saw each other a ton. And lo and behold, you, as you appropriately predicted, probably... going on 8 years ago when I first moved out here to California, you had theorized that one day we would end up living together, and lo and behold, we ended up, we're spending some time living together. So
yeah.
it's it's kind of funny the way that worked out, which is interesting too, because you would think, since we've been friends for so long, it would have happened naturally, but we were never in the same place at the same time. Like, yeah. when you were away in the military was when I was living at home, and then when you got out was about 6 months before I first moved out to California, and then I moved back to New Jersey after I graduated school. Shortly after that, you moved down to Virginia.
Definitely.
So we were never really in the same place, and you graduated school, and then I came back out here again, so we were never in the same place long enough to where we would have gotten a place together.
Yeah, that's true.
It's pretty funny when you think about it. So it's weird that it took until, like I said, about 32 for us to share any kind of space together. But you would have thought it would have happened. But you were right, though. And we ended up here. And, you know, you'll be here hopefully for quite a while. I certainly will be, now that I've ingratiated myself with the locals as much as I can.
Yeah, I'd love to be here. It really depends on the situation, on how things go the next few weeks, you know.
Yeah, of course.
We'll see.
We'll see. Yep. It'll be all right. It takes a while. It takes a while for everybody to get settled into anywhere new. But actually, that's a good thing, because you've been out here at least to visit a couple of times. So what have you found most interesting about being in California? Or just California as compared to New Jersey or anywhere else? Because you've been around the world, having been stationed in many places. So what's your impression of California?
Okay.
I'm always curious to hear this, because everybody's from somewhere else out here.
My impression of California.
Yeah.
I think my impression has changed an awful lot since 2006 or so. What was it, 2000 and... Okay,
it was 2006 when I came here. So was that your first trip here?
That was my first real trip here.
Okay.
And then I visited with my brother again in the, what was it, January of 2007, perhaps? I'm trying to think. I stayed out here with my brother when he was in San Diego.
Right, yeah, that's right.
For a short period of time. I'm trying to think. No, I think it was actually September. And it was cold out. I was shocked at how cold it out was. And I was really like, wow, this is where I want to be. But in fact, I think I even went about registering for Los Angeles City College.
Really?
Yeah, I remember we talked about it a little bit. And
we did talk. There was a period. It was, I'd been out here maybe 6 months or so, 6 to 9 months. And I remember you were thinking about coming out here because you'd been taking classes at OCC, Ocean County College, for a while. Yeah. And you thought, since you just got out of the military and you want to get into, you know, school again, you thought about coming out here and going to school out here. And also because compared to New Jersey gives a lot of financial aid. But state-wise, like, the state will cover a larger portion of your education if you go to a state school as compared to a private school in California, head and shoulders above what New Jersey will give you to go to, like, Rutgers or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know that was something that you had asked about, but I literally remember there was actually, thinking on it, you were finishing up your the spring semester in 2006, and I remember you saying you were thinking about packing up the car and just driving out. Nothing ever came of it. And then a few months later, you kind of talked about, I don't think you were going to leave school, like you weren't going to go to school, but I think you were going to come out here and pursue residency, because after a year, you become a resident in California, and you were going to look into going to school, and then it hadn't happened. So you definitely have been drawn. You've definitely wanted to come out here for a while, which I understand. I've had the pull for California for a long time and ended up moving back here anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it is. I mean, there are a lot of things. The weather's a huge factor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the way the weather affects my mood, like, I lived in Hawaii. I lived in a few other places, Florida, etc. And so I got spoiled on the good weather. The bad, you know, like really cold weather, especially really cold, icy weather, I kind of shut down. And if you want to become healthy, that's really not the kind of pattern you want to get into.
Yeah.
So the kind of almost eternal summer situation, now when it's in the middle of summer and it's like unbearably hot, maybe I might rethink it, but no. Really, no. Honestly, I do love the warm weather, and it has a huge effect on my
disposition.
I
think it does for me too, and that's part of it, because you also can't, you don't want to go outside when it's cold out, and it gets bitter. I mean, look, I'm not comparing New Jersey to the Midwest or anything, but it gets cold, like really cold, especially compared to how hot and humid it gets during the summer. There's such a wide range of weather in New Jersey where I can't deal with it anymore.
Yeah, and not so much the snow, but the ice. When there's ice on the ground,
oh god.
You don't want to run around. You don't want to, because, you know, my big phobia is slipping and getting hurt. Mm. Or you're running on the side of the road and another car skids out and hits you.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known people who've been hit. It's just that kind of something in the back of my mind, like, I just don't want to deal with the BS that comes with trying to get good exercise in when the weather's not ideal.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Which is half the year.
Yeah. That's part of it. But, yeah, as soon as I got out here the first time, I just said, wow, I want to come back here someday. And then I went right back out to San Diego, and I liked that a lot. I love the food in San Diego. I'll be honest with you, Los Angeles, I'm not impressed with the food I've had since I've been out here. Not impressed. The pizza is terrible. Yeah, maybe I should open up a pizzeria. Pizza's terrible.
They don't know, though. They don't have anything to compare to. There's a few things, which is something you and I have talked about, because food-wise, there's a lot more in Los Angeles, but there's certain things it does lack. Like, you can't get a good sub or hoagie or grinder, depending what part of the country you live in. You can't get a good one out here. Like, the only place you can get one, really, is Subway, but even that's like, it's okay. It's a sandwich. It does the job. Or the grocery stores certainly make a sub facsimile of a sub.
There's Jersey Mike's, but there's a ton of salt in Jersey Mike's.
Even that, though, it's still a chain. It still doesn't taste.
Yeah.
They just all taste the same.
If you don't watch out, they will slather it in mayo. And the bread sometimes is not, you know, for a hoagie, your bread matters a lot. And if it's a little bit, you know, when you bite on the bread and it has that kind of semi-staleness to it?
Yeah.
Where it's kind of, it's a
little crustier than it should be.
Yeah, a little bit of cardboardy.
Yeah.
But, I do support it because Jersey Mike's started in Point Pleasant.
True.
And funny enough, one of the guys from Jersey Mike's, the family, you know, they all went to our public high school.
Mm-hmm.
He sat next to me in one of my German classes, and he graduated a year ahead of me, and then he joined the Marines. And lo and behold, I saw him. I think when I went to a really tough school in Japan, a Marine Corps school, he was there. I was like, wow, what a shock. I think the chain was much smaller when he was – it was just maybe a couple of stores. And by the time he gets out of the military, suddenly it's blown up all over Jersey and then
– as far as across the country.
Yeah, so that's a hell of a homecoming.
They got to be everywhere. See, my sister does like Jersey Mike's, and she'll go there because she said, well, it's the closest thing – to home, and I can kind of agree with that. As far as pizza and Italian food, nowhere near.
No.
It's strange that there's no Little Italy or anything like that. It's Koreatown, and there's...
I love the Russian food that's here, though. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you've talked so about good. This Russian place, and I've never had anything.
Grandma's Kitchen. It's actually got a great write-up on Yelp.
Oh, yeah?
Grandma's Kitchen in Valley Village behind the subway. So it's right there on Laurel Canyon Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, that is so good.
Yeah, you've talked about this place.
It sounds nasty, but...
I don't know anything about Russian food, so I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Beef tongue salad.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
Oh, it's so good.
But is it...
So good.
Is it tongue?
Yeah, it's like lengua, like, you know, like a tongue salad. A taco, like in Mexican food.
Okay.
And it's just ribbons. Oh, it's so damn good.
I don't know. Just the whole thought of tongue is like...
Yeah. Cod... gefilte fish, because they have a Jewish section.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, sorts of stuff. Beef stroganoff, which was not that good.
Okay, stroganoff. I know. Oh, really?
Yeah, there's. Okay. I like stroganoff, but their stroganoff was nothing spectacular.
Okay, I do like stroganoff.
Yeah.
Gotta say. Okay, there's something to start with.
Yeah, but any of their fish, oh, man. It's so good.
But food-wise, yeah, there's some stuff. I mean, we went to a good German place. We went to Brat Brothers, which is a full-on. I mean, the girls were wearing lederhosen and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And actually, our waitress did have a German accent, unless she's an actress, which is likely.
Yeah.
And they had a really eclectic menu. I mean, you had a... What kind of bratwurst did you... I think I had a... I had like a spicy beef. It was like it was called like a Texas wurst or something like that.
Yeah.
You had venison. That's what it was. They had wild boar and all sorts of stuff. And I thought, which is apparently really lean meat, by the way.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, alligator, I think?
Alligator, yeah. I don't think I had the alligator, weird. But it was so
good. We didn't eat it, but I saw it on the menu. But, I mean, like, that was really good. I think there are maybe a handful of them, so I don't think that's a huge chain.
Mm.
So there are places like that, but there's stuff that you would think. See, here's the interesting thing, which you and I were talking about, in that the restaurants... Particularly something like fast food, just to kind of narrow the field a bit. They have all the same restaurants here, like McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, etc., that we have in New Jersey. But there are more of them out here because it's El Pollo Loco and Jack in the Box and Carl's Jr. In-N-Out Burger. Oh, man. Mm. So I got in a fight, not a fist fight like you, but I got in an argument the other day over In-N-Out because I said it was overrated. I know you agree because you said, yeah. And I said, in my defense, first of all, it's hyped up way too much by people who grew up eating it. So I probably expected more. And there's always a huge wait. You will literally see no less than 14 cars in the drive-thru.
Yeah.
So by the time I get the burger, I'm just like, whatever. I'm jaded about it.
Yeah.
But I just don't, I don't hate it. I just thought it was like, it's a burger. But people out here are so protective of it. Like, it's so precious to them that they have, like, In-N-Out Burger. Oh, In-N-Out Burger's the best. In-N-Out Burger's the best. I don't get it, but, you know, I'm not also protesting outside of the location.
And for those here who are not from California, you know.
There are plenty. Everybody who listens is from somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. The folks will sit in their cars with the gas running, which is great for the smog-filled supposedly environment out here, with the gas running. And it will take them much longer to get their meal than if they were to just park the car, walk. I mean, it's like 15 feet, go inside into nice air-conditioned restaurant, and sit down and get it yourself.
Yeah, everyone here's busy.
It's so, but I mean, it takes. They're so addicted to it. It's the car culture or whatever they call it.
Oh yeah,
it takes forever to you know, you're sitting online. They even take your order while you're waiting at the car. Just go in there and go get it, and you could be gone.
Yeah, people don't though.
They don't because everyone's it's part of the ritual. Yeah,
yeah, and everyone's on the phone in their car because they got the Bluetooth blasting through their stereo speakers.
Yeah.
And everyone's busy.
Yeah.
So it's easier to do that than, I guess, talk on the cell phone and go inside the restaurant, get your food, and leave.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was one that I don't get it, but I don't dislike it. I just don't. Yeah. I'm not drawn to go eat anything there.
No.
But it's such a big deal. It's such a big deal here.
Yeah, I mean, it's relatively cheap, and you can tell that it's fresh, but it's really not that great.
The thing Nothing that gets special. Me is that everybody says, oh, the secret menu, though. You got to order off the secret menu. I'm like, it's not a secret. Everybody knows about it because everybody tells you to order off the secret menu.
Yeah.
Besides, there are no secrets. It's the internet age. Everybody has seen the goddamn menu. It's written somewhere. It's not like passed around in a notebook that not everybody has access to, handed down from father to son to grandson. Come on. It's not such
Gardens
a secret
with
menu.
Your life.
Exactly. You need to... You hold the secret. This is what they will make you, but only if you ask for it. I think that's kind of weird. It's strange out here. I mean, there's certainly good stuff. And I think mom and pop places, like the Russian place, obviously, I think is a privately owned, like, small business. I think those places are probably, you need to seek them out. You need to try a little harder. Like most good things, you need to dig a little deeper to get to the good stuff.
Yeah.
But, I think that's just how it goes. Even when it comes to food. You know, if you go to chains, you're not going to... I mean, look, Olive Garden's not real Italian food. It's just fast food Italian, pretty much.
For sure.
So, it's not, in the same way, Chili's isn't real Mexican food. I love Chili's, but it's not authentic Mexican food.
No.
It's just Fridays with a different theme.
Yeah.
So, one of the many things we've been laughing at, because it's something you've been participating in for a while, and it's something it's crossed my mind, and you've been convincing me about it a little bit more, or at least to try it, and that is online dating, which it really seems like the most, I'm not going to say reliable, but probably the easiest way to meet other single people, because there's no, what are the options? Otherwise, you have a coworker, or you're introduced through a mutual friend, or something like that. But otherwise, like, where do you go? You know, you're not going to meet, I'm sure it happens to people, but you're not going to meet a single person at a bar. I feel like it's more random if you go out and just walk up to somebody. And I feel like with as disconnected as we are anyway, through text messaging and not even phone calls and everything else, I don't know if that first person interaction with the stranger is as easily. I don't think it's embraced as much as it used to be when that was the only way we could talk to each other, was standing in front of each other or maybe on the phone. I think everyone's so disconnected now that it kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
that stuff has happened online.
It can almost be now where it's like, and people. Men especially are so afraid of being seen as aggressive.
Oh yeah,
culturally, not everybody, but let's say like the mainstream of the society. I mean, there's certain subcultures where it's like they really value it, especially more traditional ones. But mainstream, it can be like you know, you're walking on eggshells if you try to bother, basically that's what's called, you know, bothering a woman at a coffee shop when she just wants to get her a drink and get back to work, you know, that sort of thing. Though I'm sure I see the nightclubs still have plenty of people outside.
They do, but so. I don't think people go there looking for dates. People go there looking for hookups and
hang out with your friends or go with your boyfriend, go with your girlfriend, that sort of thing. Yeah,
and I think women go. I mean, this is actually a friend of ours. His older sister mentioned this years ago to us, and it made total sense to me. This is when we were probably club going age, so this is maybe high school seniors, a little bit after. She said, when girls go to clubs with other girls, they're going to dance, they're going to have fun. They're not going to pick up guys most of the time. So if don't go to a club, expect you're going to hit on a girl and something's going to come out of it. And I thought that made sense because, yeah, when women go, they usually are going with a group of their friends and they're going to have fun. They're not all going out like, all right, all the single ladies, we're all going out to the club and we're each going to meet a guy, because I don't think that's ever the plan. Mm. So, yeah, the online dating thing, I guess it makes sense now. And
I mean, it's just a lot more efficient. You know, you can just sort out what you're looking for. Bam, you put it in there. You know, whatever demographic you're looking for, mm-hmm. you can punch that in. I mean, and just because, like I said, you might see if you're a woman a man, whatever, or you might see somebody who's really attractive, really well dressed, right? You want to go up there, approach them, and the minute they open up their mouth, you know, and you get to know each other, you realize that even though they might be into me and I might be into them over the first few seconds, there might be some fundamental things that, no, there's just no way.
Right.
I mean, that this is going to go on. I mean, if you're just going to hook up, maybe, I don't know. But if you're actually looking for a relationship, yeah, there's just no, you know, it's not going to fly.
Right. Or if you're just looking for a date, you at least know things going in, like the, let's call the metrics. I think that's a fair
Absolutely,
use
yeah.
of the word. The metrics and like the questions you answer, like you showed me on mm-hmm. one particular site, which mm-hmm. we won't name. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but we were going through a bunch of questions you answered and comparing compatibility when we were looking at women, what they answered and seeing whether or not it was compatible. So at least there's a filtration system, a social filtration system when it comes to, all right, at least you'll know what you're getting into. Whereas if you walk up to somebody at Barnes & Noble and just speak to her, you don't know anything about it. You don't know something that may be important to you, like religion or career or sense of humor, whatever. Like, whether it's superficial or, you know, something that's deeply personal to you, like religion, then you may not... You wouldn't know otherwise until you go out to dinner, possibly, with this person, unless you just grab coffee. But if you go out to dinner, you can literally end up with nothing to talk about. Or after 12 minutes, you could be ready for the check and to just take her home.
Yeah.
So, and take her home, like drop her off, not take her back to your place. Mm. So at least there's some kind of guideline. At least you can kind of suss out people who you're interested in. So I do, I get it more and more. I mean, like I said, I haven't tried it as of yet.
It does make me wonder, though. Guys our age who are, you know, or a little bit older who we had to do that where you just literally go up to her and blah, 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 bam. Run your game. Maybe we're a little bit more confident than maybe some guys who've been more very reliant on the online thing. I don't know. You know, I'm kind of underestimating people.
I don't think so.
There's that strong drive, you know, to be social. And
but I think we're at least used to it because we've had the experience where before all this came along, you had to go up to a girl cold and you would have to start a conversation or you'd have to speak to them. Whereas now, with everything being, like I said before, disconnected and you're not dealing with people in the first person, I think that makes people reluctant to meet. Like, I mean, I think one of the sites you were showing me actually has a, I think one of the questions was, are you willing to meet in person? And the variety of answers was like, I was surprised. I'm thinking, isn't that the idea? Are you just looking for an IM buddy?
Yeah. I mean,
it just seems so strange. Like,
why
wouldn't you want to meet somebody? You're on a dating site.
Yeah.
You should ultimately meet up with somebody and have something to say.
That's true. Yeah. A lot of people nowadays don't necessarily, or not nowadays, but there are people in a place where like they really don't care what other people think and they're just going to give their answer. Then you have certain people who are more insecure. And then you have some women who are afraid of giving off, you know, sometimes they're afraid for their safety, like they don't want to seem too eager.
Right.
Because that might attract people who are going to try and harm them, you know. I mean, a woman's going to have to consider so many other things about a man, because it's women who are normally victimized by men, not the other way around.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it does happen the other way around. Men get victimized by men. Women get victimized by women. But men do most of the violent crime.
The abusing tends to be more done on the end of the male. Yeah, you're right.
So
you're
they totally have more things that they have to worry about.
And now it's become something that's so woven into the social fabric. I'm sounding really fancy. Mm. But I've read many articles. I read Men's Health magazine monthly, and I've read their articles online. And there are so many suggestions that they make. I mean, guys will write in with just no clue at all as far as how to handle a situation. Probably guys younger than us who have not had that first-person experience with going into a date or just walking up to somebody and not, the jersey came out, walking up to somebody. Mm-hmm. But they won't have that first-hand exchange where they just kind of have to go in cold. Whereas now everyone's so reliant on kind of communicating in an impersonal way through just text, be it email or text messaging or instant messaging, that I think a lot of younger guys are nervous. So I see these questions that are asked as far as, what happens if you meet somebody? How do you know? And ultimately, it comes down to having to meet them in person. Usually, it's, well, meet up in a public place. Don't pick them up. Offer, you can say, let's meet somewhere mutually. Let's get a drink. Let's get coffee. They just said, keep it casual. Meet somewhere publicly. Don't invite her over. Don't ask if you could come over. Don't offer to come over and cook her dinner or something like that. Mm. And the idea is just to be that casual because at the same time, do have your first meeting being public in a public place for the sake of just safety overall, which is practical.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all that stuff makes sense. But, yeah, there are things you have to consider when looking at this. Actually, it's funny because now I've done, let's say, minimal dating since I've been out here during this last year. But it's definitely, I almost don't know, other than going for coffee or drinks, I almost don't know what the first date could be. Because growing up where we grew up, in New Jersey, in proximity to the shore, you can go to the boardwalk with a girl, and you can go get a slice of pizza.
For sure, yeah.
And a Pepsi, and you can sit and talk, and that would kind of be the thing. And the boardwalk was fine, because it's kind of where everybody went, and it is a public place, and it's wide open, and it's busy. And, if things went well, you can end up making out the end of the boardwalk, and somewhat in the dark. Or over by the inlet or something.
It's happened. It's happened to people.
Yeah. It's happened probably all of us at some point. Whereas here, there kind of isn't a landmark, but like a single destination where you would go like that. Like the boardwalk is such an easy go-to in New Jersey, whereas here it's like, you go to one of the variety of coffee chains and just have coffee with a person. But I don't know. I can't think of a place that's just like, oh, here's an automatic kind of first date. Why don't we go here?
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, that or maybe some people, coffee shop. I mean, it depends on what your means are.
Oh, yeah.
Et cetera. You know, people have a whole way of doing it, social etiquette. You know, obviously you'll look online for help or you'll ask friends. But, yeah, there's all different ways to do it. You know, the funny thing is I've always told people that don't, friends who've asked advice, I've always said, don't gab with her for forever before meeting up. So why is it? It's because, the person you meet on that first date is going to be a different person than who you're going to meet online.
Oh, totally.
And it just makes it all the more awkward when you've been talking forever and maybe expectations have been raised, or people have, people do this. They'll construct an image of themselves which really isn't who they are. And everyone's much savvier, much funnier, much just more prepared when they're talking to each other online. When you meet that person, they're going to be, somebody completely different. So you don't want to build it up and build it up and build
it up. Oh, yeah. And it's awkward anyway. I mean, meetings are always awkward. You don't know what to do. Like, do you hug? Do you shake hands? Do you have a polite kiss on the cheek with like a light kind of one-arm embrace kind of thing? It's so, like, there isn't a, I don't think now there's some kind of social norm for like the first date. I mean, I guess it depends.
There definitely are. And I think people are more relaxed on it now. But like I said, you wouldn't want to build it up forever because it just adds to awkwardness and that's the story with that. I'll put it just like that. But
you also need, if you talk too long, though, you're not going to have as much.
You're not going to have as much to say.
You're going to need to go into the date with, I see this reboot. I see you watch The Walking Dead, or something like that based on their profile. But you can't get too in-depth. I mean, I realize some of the profiles I browsed using your account, because you currently have one. Mm. I just noticed a lot of women said, I want to talk and interact for a while and form some kind of connection before meeting up. And I get that. And that probably comes from a place of caution where maybe first dates or going on a date with somebody they weren't prepared to meet with, or maybe they had some kind of catfishing going on or whatever, where they want to test the authenticity of a person. I kind of understand that, but the majority seems like, okay, here's some information about me. Here's like bullet points about me. Here's what I'm into. Here's facts about me as far as like height, job. I mean, you can fill in things like income, religion. I mean, there's a whole list of metrics. But I feel like you should kind of have a couple of things on there. Like, here's some interesting things about me. And then if that appeals to you, fine, let's go. But I feel like now, especially because of the lack of first-person interaction and because of this younger generation, here's Grandpa's climbing on a soapbox again, but I think there's such reluctance, or let's say hesitation, apprehension, to even go on a date when it's just a date. If you go out with somebody, you meet up for coffee, even if you meet up for dinner or you meet up for drinks, it's just a date. You can go on a date and there's no commitment. Nothing needs to come out of it. You can go on a date and just realize, you know, is there anything here? No, there's nothing here. Okay, I don't want to waste your time.
Absolutely.
I think there's more. I think it's part of building up, like you said. Like, there's something where it's built up, where there's, you're walking in with some kind of inflated expectation. Even just saying, like, I'm going on a date.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. Like, I mean, there was, for instance, here's something I thought was a little weird. This is not too recently, but it's maybe a little over a year ago, when there were two people I do, guy and a girl, who work with friends of mine. And I know them through my friend. And two of them happened to date. And they literally went on a date. And within the week, they put themselves on Facebook as in a relationship. Because I'm friends with the two of them on Facebook. And I just thought, just like, you're dating. Like, when are you putting... I mean, it's just so weird. But I mean, then again, I think they're like 20, 21-ish. So to them, I guess that's just normal. But I'm thinking, you're dating. Like, it's not a relationship. I mean, everybody has a relationship with every person in their life, but it's not an intimate relationship necessarily. Yeah. I just think it's weird that that's become normal. Like, well, we're dating. Okay, well, dating doesn't mean anything unless it's how you define a relationship is, hey, we're dating. So I don't know. I feel like that adds another kind of pressure where you're almost doing PR for yourself through something like Facebook. Where it's, we're dating.
You're absolutely right. You have to constantly do PR for yourself. I mean, look at, for example, the website that we're on where it asks you some very controversial questions. Some of them are embarrassing, but some of them are, you know, controversial. So a lot of people don't necessarily give what they believe. They give what they think is the...
They'll give a more middle-of-the-road answer.
More middle-of-the-road or vague, or vague answer. It's just as a way to protect yourself, because there are malicious people out there who will take a screen cap of your profile and put them on a forum and say, look at this jerk or look at this bee, and put you out there. Or they will, you know, if they know where your employer is or something, they get you in trouble. So, I mean, everyone is constantly doing PR, you know?
Yeah. No, it's true, because doing PR all that stuff can get spread around.
Yes.
And
we've seen it happen over and over and over again in the media, and people are just more cautious, you know? They're more savvy.
Yeah. And well, and for good reason, because that stuff does happen. I mean, that is a realistic threat. You hear about all the time people who are at the... I mean, look, there are stupid people who post stupid, insensitive stuff on Twitter and Facebook, and then they have some kind of professional repercussions for it, and then they get all up in arms like, what? I can't believe, how can they do it? Well, you're still representing yourself and, by extension, the company you're working for, so you can't act like it an incredible asshole and then expect somehow there are going to be zero consequences based on the people who pay you to do a job, because you're still representing them in some fashion. So, yeah, you're right, though. But I think there are also people who, there are certainly trolls. I mean, that's really the best expression for it. Where, let's say you're browsing and you're conservative, you may be looking around for, let's say you're a conservative guy, you're looking around for, especially in California, where there's no shortage of liberal women, you might seek them out and then just want to fight with them. Like, because people do that. I mean, look at the comment sections on any YouTube video. People just getting fights over the most petty and stupid shit.
Yeah.
I'm sure that happens a lot on dating sites, where people just want to abuse other people anonymously. I mean, not so much anonymously, because at least there's a photo, but...
Shoot.
I think there's a lot of that. So people are probably more reluctant to put a stance that's strong one way or the other. Really? For what reason?
I remember I think I was on my lunch break or something, and I was checking something. And someone, a very heavy set woman, a young woman, much younger than me, made a request. It was like an instant message, which is like, you know, I don't use so much instant messaging anymore. I don't think a lot of people use instant messaging as much. Maybe kids do, but most people communicate through their text on their phone.
Yeah.
So
instant message, you know, through one of these dating sites?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a feature that that you can check on or check off.
Oh, I see.
And I guess mine was checked on by default. And I said, oh, she made a comment about my profile that, you know, it needed a lot of improvement, to say.
What?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, thanks. And then she made another reply, and then another reply, and it got progressively ruder. And I was like, okay, I'm being trolled by some woman who could very well be some man.
Could
or
be
some
dude.
Boy.
Yeah, could be a 14-year-old
just looking
dude.
To see if you can raise my hackles. And I didn't really get annoyed, because if it was a woman like that, a young girl, 20-year-old girl, who's going to be that aggressive, he's probably really desperate or really mad.
Or just looking for attention.
Yeah,
even if it's
for attention.
If they can't get your affection, then your hate will do.
Yeah.
Because you're still giving them some kind of emotion and giving them some attention.
Yeah, very lonely and wants some kind of interaction.
I mean, even if it's something legitimate, though, let's say it really was the person who was messaging you, this young woman. It could very well be she thinks she's being helpful.
Yeah.
There could be the complete misguided nobility of... Yeah. Oh, I should help you because your profile is like, lady, you're single too, because that's why you're on this website.
Yeah.
Like, what are you gonna tell me?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
gonna be of such value.
Oh, she said I was fat, which was funny. I'm pretty tall, and I'm not really fat, but
no.
She could have weighed the same weight as I did, and she's probably about 7 inches shorter than me.
Mm.
So this is a big woman, and this I kind of already knew it was a troll, but it seemed like even more likely it was a troll after that.
Well, if they're making with the insults, I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. You also have people who are on just to see what's out there or to get attention, like some super beautiful women on Plenty of Fish. A girl took a screenshot of that. She had 220 messages in her inbox. And I remember a girl from college who I was friendly with who was really pretty. She showed me she had like 56 in her inbox that day, and she was engaged. Which was funny.
Man.
And this is Facebook. So she wasn't on a dating site. She was on Facebook, but 56 messages in her inbox.
Yeah.
And almost all of them were from random guys.
Yeah. Oh, that
happens. You're hot. Let's hook up. Can I get to know you? You know, how's it good, mommy, et cetera? That sort of thing. Like, she doesn't even know who these people are.
Yeah.
Maybe she goes to school with them. Maybe she doesn't, you know?
I've had a friend who had that happen to her on MySpace. She'd just gotten engaged. And her profile picture was her, like, with her head in her hand. It was totally posed because it was to emphasize that the ring was on her finger. And she was still getting messages from guys. Oh, you're hot. Oh, you're a nurse. Oh, that's hot. I mean, like, what the fuck? How does a dude think that angle works? Just sending. And I saw that when I was cruising profiles through your account.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of women saying, "Please be more creative than saying you're hot" or something. And I'm sure there are dudes just yeah. Message, the subject line, sup, and the message, you're hot.
Yeah. You know.
Want to hook up?
It's
a shame that there are guys who are that delusional.
Yeah.
That they actually send a message to a woman asking if you want to hook up or you want to get together. Like, God, guys are so goddamn stupid.
I think some of these guys have been reading, like, the biography of Patton, General Patton, where he said that quantity has a quality all its own, where they literally spam.
Right. They probably do, figuring some girl's going to want to hook up.
Out of like 1,000.
Yeah.
Because I always hear guys talking about it, about, yeah, blah, 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 meaning, you know. And I'm like, how do you do this exactly? Because I got to see the women that you're with.
What, guys claiming that they've had conquests through?
Yeah, but and not even bragging, just talking about normal, as in if it's just an everyday thing. I'm like,
I remember
earlier days of the internet, it used to work that way. But I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm an older guy or something. But
that could be guys just lying, too. Like, if we were 14 and one of our friends said, like, let me touch her tit. It's like, whoa, really?
Yeah.
Like, we wouldn't know whether or not it was true.
It
so it's probably just guy just talking, trying to...
Yeah, but I mean...
Trying to emphasize his machismo.
Yeah, I don't know. But then you have the one... One of the things that's one of my big pet peeves, and I am definitely not ripped. I'm not going to be winning any CrossFit competitions anytime soon. But when I see women whose profiles and it says, if you have a shirtless pic, do not call me. But I'm looking at your profile, and I'm like, you look like exactly the kind of girl who would be really turned on or into the guy with the shirtless pics. You're
by
saying,
a dude who takes like a bathroom selfie with his shirt off.
You're basically taking a bunch of selfies yourself.
Uh-huh.
And yet you say, I don't want a guy with a shirtless pic. And I'm like, I think to me that's almost like defensive. That's like a defensive thing for people who are maybe a little bit insecure about their own body. Where they say, that, I don't want, you know, because some guys are going to be genetically in great shape. You know, it's just genetics. They don't have to do anything. Maybe they play a little basketball and, you know.
With minimal effort, they can maintain a fit body. Yeah, yeah, definitely. There are always
but
those guys.
Most people, it takes an awful lot of dedication. And so it's like your calling card by saying, I have self-discipline. I care about my health. I eat right.
I mean, I take care of myself.
It emphasizes
responsibility and discipline. I will say that. Yeah. But I think women take it as being douchebaggy. I mean, there are superficial women who are just all about like, oh my God, I need a six-pack.
Yeah.
And I don't mean beer.
But yeah, but I mean, if a guy gets in that good shape and he wants to take a couple of shirtless pics, or maybe, no, just one. He's going to post one. As long as it's not like right there, and the only picture he has, maybe it's got one of several. Mm-hmm. I don't see why you hold that against him. And I got to think that some of these women who are saying no shirtless pics, if we were to do some kind of a study, a bunch of them will be like, yeah,
okay. Sent their own shirtless pics to previous guys.
As long as it's not like David Hasselhoff, where you're like slathered in Vaseline and holding two Sharpei puppies. You know, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah.
You'll be okay.
If it's not planned. That's one of the things, actually, that apparently reduces the amount of messages you'll get is taking a picture with a pet. I think that's a little weird.
Yeah.
It's like, so dude is a dog. What's wrong with that?
Maybe like, oh, he's already in a relationship.
Yeah. Like, you don't understand my dogs.
I love my dogs.
Yeah. My pit bull is my best friend. You don't understand. You'll never understand me the way he does.
Oh, my God.
Or she, even worse. Oh, no, but I thought that was kind of weird, which is really interesting too. I mean, as long as there has been social media, there have been the bias profile pics, because that's been one of the big criticisms from myself included, going back years ago. Now dating sites have evolved a lot in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
But initially I thought it's going to be the same as it was on, like, let's say MySpace, you know, the first social media site I was on, and a lot of people our age. And I just, when you see people who you know in person, especially women, and I put this one on women because they can do, you know exactly where I'm going with this, because they can do the close-up shot where it's just their face and cleavage and you don't see the rest of their body, whereas guys can't really get away with that because guys don't have cleavage. I mean, if they do, they're not fucking emphasizing it. But there's that element of, she's not what I thought she was. I mean, that's the whole debate, like with that show Catfish, where it's, this is a girl in my dreams, it's my soulmate, this is the person I've been waiting for, and then they show up and it's, she's 40 pounds heavier than we thought she was. Oh, I'm not walking over there. So
That definitely happens, yeah.
Oh, of course.
It's something that supposedly women are more guilty of this than men.
I believe that.
Old pics. And I've had I've had a date, you know, I actually went on a second date with her, but I remember as soon as I saw her, I was like, wow, those pics are good few years old. Wow.
See, I feel like I'd have to take pictures almost like recent pictures.
I don't know why people don't update them. I don't know why.
Because everyone wants to appear younger. I mean, there are probably plenty of people. I'm sure there are plenty of people who lie about their age on these sites, too.
Yeah.
They have to.
I think they said
I'm 27, you're 31.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it, but come on.
That's a big no-no nowadays, though. I mean, like, I know there's people who are probably like late 30s or maybe almost 50 who will probably do that for different reasons and get away with it. But, I mean, nowadays they can check you up on Facebook, et cetera. And that's a big lie to say, I'm 5 years older or I'm 4 years older. That's a pretty substantial lie. Like, wow, you're going to lie to me now. What else are you going to lie to me on?
Totally. Men are known up front, for no less.
Yeah. Yeah, up front. Men are going to – are supposedly they lie about their height. And you'd say, wow, why do they do that? It's often one of the only unnegotiables or non-negotiables that a woman has is height. I'm surprised by this. You'll have a woman who have nothing else put on there, Maybe that, or they've never been divorced.
I've seen that. I like a tall man. Yeah. I want a guy who's tall. Don't message me if you're under 5'11". Yeah. I saw that when I was cruising.
And the thing is, guys, short guys, or even average height guys, they get screwed coming and going. Because guess what? A lot of the short women, they don't want to date you either. In fact, some of the short women are more particular. Some of the really tall women who are kind of like, geez, I'm going to have to be a little more broad in my search.
Yeah.
Some of them are just kind of like, oh, you know, hell. As long as, you know, your legs
or at least a similar proportion to mine, then
yeah,
we'll be okay.
Whatever.
But yeah, dude who's 5'8 can't date a woman who's 5'2. Come on. That seems a little stupid. Why? If she wears heels, she's still going to be shorter than him.
Some of the little short ones, the real short women, they're like, oh, he's got to be at least 6 foot tall. Now, the thing is, with me, when I get into the dating thing, I'm going to have you know what? You're too short. You're just too darn short for me.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because I've messed with that before, and it's awkward. It gets a little bit strange. Probably everybody listening to this, you know, maybe you all have no problem with it. But yeah, the height thing with a woman if she's too short.
Well, you're 6'2", though. So, yeah. I mean, if you dated a woman who's 5'2", there is a big difference there. I mean, I've dated women who are 5'2", 5'3", and a few friends have said, like, it looks a little odd, like, if she's wearing flats or something.
Yeah,
especially because all
like,
women
like
live
like
in flip-flops now. Yeah. if she's that much younger than you.
Yeah.
But if there is that kind of height disparity, which isn't a problem, I mean, it's kind of a superficial thing, but still, like, there's, I mean, with me, I'm 6 feet, you're 6'2". So, yeah, a woman who's 10 inches shorter is, I mean, it's obvious. It's not like it's subtle. It's not as if she puts on a pair of heels and all of a sudden it's like, hey, you're like, you guys are standing face to face with each other.
Yeah.
That's not so much the case. It is interesting, though. That's definitely something I saw as a recurring theme. I like a guy's tall, which, I mean, hey, no problem for you and I.
Yeah.
I didn't see a whole lot of you must be 6'3 or taller.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of that. But saying, like, you must be 5'10", I like tall men.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's definitely a lot of that, though.
The other, and like I said, this is from casual. I've been looking at this stuff a lot. In fact, I've gone on very few dates because it's just not a great time for me. But I've looked at a ton of profiles because I've always been curious about this stuff. And the other thing I see is red-haired men get it so harsh. Even other red-haired women don't want to date you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's tough.
It's really tough.
If you're like a 5'3" red-haired guy, not in great shape.
Right.
Or not super buff. And you don't have a good
job. You're going to spend a lot of time playing the stranger.
You're going to have to develop a lot of, you know, a lot of extras. Because I'm like, wow, if you're a red-haired dude, you're just getting, negged pretty hard.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
That's a tough go of it. If you have to worry about, you know, well, I'm red. There is a stigma against red-haired guys, which is kind of silly. Yeah. I don't know where it comes from. Maybe because the fair skin and being tan is more appealing, which I get, but there's no short. But even you're right, though. Even fair skinned women don't want to necessarily be with a guy who's fair skinned.
No,
I see a lot of that. Yeah. They want a guy who's tanned. it's crazy.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
It's one of the weird things about you're right, though, man. If you're a guy who's, let's say you're 5'5", you got red hair, and you're not overweight, but you might not be like fit. Then yeah, you're gonna get a lot of you're not gonna get a lot of your messages responded to, and it's sad. I'm not agreeing with it. I'm saying it's kind of sad, but that is realistically the thing. Like, I mean, I'm tall. I have light eyes. Those are both perks. Dark hair, hair period.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, those things are looked at as at least perks. So I mean, if I was on there, I don't think I'd have as hard a time as say that guy would. I'm not saying I'm better than he is or I'm a better date than he is.
Yeah.
But those, I don't need to worry about those things because the height can't really help that.
Yeah.
So
I will give a lot of credit to a lot of men. When you look at, a lot of guys won't bother looking at a man's profile because they don't want it to be seen. But if you can do it privately where you're just kind of anonymously looking stuff, it's not going to show up on their thing. But men do, I think, do a really good job a lot of times of A, being honest, and B, like how they present themselves. You know, there's this modern image of men being like kind of almost like sloppy caveman or man child, like, you know, Will Ferrell type thing. But a lot of guys, they put a lot of effort into constructing their profile. And
I think there's,
it definitely made me think about, I mean, one of the things that spurred me to help get back in shape was looking at all the guys on there and a huge number of them are in great shape. You know, it could be just very well be that the guys who are aren't in good shape have kind of given up, or they've found other ways to, you know, to find women, or maybe they're already married. But they put a lot of effort into it. You know, your whole appearance, the style of dress, your headshot and everything, talking about yourself, they could be a little bit more honest about what who they are, rather than some women where it kind of you can kind of tell that it's very derivative.
Well, there's also the difference of, I mean, a man taking a selfie, not good. Women can put on heels. Women can put on makeup. Women can do their hair. There are a lot more options a woman has to fancy up her look. Mm-hmm. So women have more of an opportunity to present themselves as something they're not, whereas guys, I'm sure there are guys who make the effort to do that, but it's not as easy for guys to do that.
Yeah.
If...
Then if you glam yourself up too much, you get written off by someone. You know,
Totally. You know? Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, he's so self-absorbed. There's no way I can deal with a guy like that. Yeah, I think that's absolutely a factor. So I think guys kind of, I mean, I think by nature guys are more upfront and guys aren't more deceptive as far as at least on the surface stuff. I mean, no guy's going to tell you if he's just, he's not going to put in his profile, I'm not looking to hook up. If he is, and if he is, he's not going to put it in there either. So there could very well be guys who are just, that's exactly what they're going to do, or they're not going to call you after they sleep with you, or whatever. Overall, I'm sure that there are guys who are a little more straightforward, like, yep, this is me, this is it, and that's, I mean, there are women like that too, but I think overall, rule of thumb, and I'm biased because I'm a guy, would be that a guy's going to be more honest, a guy's probably going to have the recent pictures, and is going to be more... I don't want to say more open, but I guess that's probably the proper term for it. It's like, this is what I look like. This is what I'm into. Because you're right. If you watch any commercial for anything, and it's the dopey father, the dopey boyfriend who doesn't know anything, or he's sitting there watching football, and the woman's talking about something that she thinks is important. He says, You know, men are just kind of portrayed as being the stupid, ineffective ones.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. I mean, there's no shortage of sitcoms with the fat, dumb husband and the hot wife.
Yeah, I mean...
So, there's kind of this image that guys don't know how to put themselves together. Like a guy's got, he's got an iron and he's got a pair of pants and he's trying to, he's rubbing the pants against the iron that's sitting on the counter.
Yeah.
With steam coming off it. Like just guys just so inept. There's such a weird perception that guys have no idea what they're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But that's not so much the case. And if anything, it's probably refreshing for women to see that, oh, okay, guys aren't as stupid as... They are in Kate Hudson movies.
God help you if you learn everything about American society through watching our TV and movies.
Oh, forget it. No, everyone's going to... They're going to think every guy is Adam Sandler, and that's bad for all of us. And every woman is... I can't think of anyone. It's like the every woman's Kim Kardashian.
Sarah Silverman? I don't know. Oh, Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, that's...
Well, some men would like that. Some men would prefer every woman.
Probably, but I mean, it's just... What do? I spend money for a living. Oh, okay. I mean, I'm sure there are dudes who are like, ooh.
Yeah,
but
let's see. Janine Garofalo, maybe. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of someone who is some relevance. Nothing. No, that's not
nice to Janine Garofalo. Yeah,
I'm just thinking of somebody who's like...
Sorry, Janine.
Well, I'm thinking of somebody who you could define our culture. But like, I mean, I think that says a lot about the country is who we look up to. So you would think of it as, all right, even though Justin Bieber's not American, you never stop hearing about him. But yeah, you'd have to say like Kim Kardashian or Jay-Z and Beyonce or somebody. Like you'd have to put them as being at the top of, you know, well, that says a lot about our culture if these are the people who we're putting on a pedestal.
Mm.
Anyway, yeah, it's weird. You know what, though? It's funny, too, because thinking back, like I said, we would hang out at your house because you had an AOL hookup. And I remember probably sophomore year when I think you were chatting with somebody through AOL, and then there was a friend of hers you were talking to or something. And anyway, I remember making a comment to one of my friends about having talked to a girl or was going to meet up with a girl who I initially had chatted with online. And there was like a stigma of just like, ugh, like it was somehow that was like the loser move. Whereas, I mean, we're talking 1997, 98. Yeah. And now it's just everything happens online and it's totally normal. It's so funny how far it's come over the years.
It was,
but it's funny how that was like a thing. It was like, well, this is this is the loser move.
Oh my
God. Talk to somebody on the internet. You talk to somebody on AOL.
I met so many cool girls over the internet back then And a little bit, a few years later, I had a lot of great experiences. It was so much smaller. Like I said, it was so, the internet was so much smaller. And it was, I would almost say it was more innocent, even though probably the majority of the sites on the internet back then were probably pornography. And
still
that,
are.
Yeah, still are. But it was so much more innocent. Like, it would say, AOL, it would say, if you were home, your age, your name, and oftentimes your address. I mean, all that stuff is voluntary. But
of course.
All sorts of things. And
but yeah, there was that. It was like a standard AOL
teenage
profile.
Teenage girls
detail.
That way. Think about that if you're a parent nowadays.
Oh,
you don't want
this
girl's
no
information
way.
Put out there. For
no
some,
way.
You know, everyone was aware of, or not, maybe not everyone was aware, but we became aware of the sex offenders.
Oh, yeah.
Et cetera, like that, kidnapping girls. But
well,
it was
it's
so
a
simple.
Sicker world now, though, yeah. than it was 15 years ago, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
just in a lot. And not because, I don't think it's because we hear about it more. I think legitimately because there are more means. I mean, there's always been the, like, it was AOL. Are your kids instant messaging people or something? I mean, there's always
You're
been
damn
that
right
thing.
They are.
Yeah. Is your kid talking to a chicken hawk? Yes. Yes, they are. No, but there's always been that. And people said the same thing about Facebook and MySpace and anything else as far as, it's, you know, it's bad because these people go on there. No, it still comes down to people. This is just the means of how they're getting in touch with somebody. Mm. And even when it comes to something like catfishing, now it's become, like, if you ask a high school kid about they were fooled by somebody who wasn't the person who they thought, it's probably just like, yeah, we've all been fooled by somebody. Meanwhile, yeah. it was a prank being pulled by. Because all you need to do, any guy can install the Instagram app on his phone. And I say guys because I think guys would be more likely to catfish than women. I could be wrong. This is totally nullifying the honesty argument from earlier. But I think as far as trying to particularly fuck around with another guy, like one of their friends, I think, a guy can just install Instagram on his iPhone. This is not a paid advertisement. And just do a screenshot of some girl's photo and then build a phony profile and
sure.
start some kind of relationship
yeah.
or try to tempt a guy. So I think that happens now too, where
yeah.
it's just common, like, yeah, we've all fallen for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you got to use, like, I mean, you can, haven't had to, but Google Image verification has a way of doing it, and there's also another thing called Tin Eye.
Oh, man.
All one word, yeah, for checking to see if it's been found somewhere else. You know, it happens.
There was
happens.
Another thing too that yeah. I saw a lot of the women on some of these sites had it, which said, I must verify you through Facebook. Like, literally phrased that way. And I'm thinking, really? Like, even
yeah.
like Facebook's not 100% legit way of verifying somebody
yeah.
either. I mean, I guess in as much as if you see they have 6 friends, then it might not be a real profile.
Yeah.
Whereas if they have, you know, 178, then okay, it's probably the actual
yeah.
person. But I think that's still a little bit weird way of verifying a person.
Yeah, I guess it's the idea is that a dating profile, like I said before, it's like you're seeing a very sanitized version of who they are on a dating profile.
Definitely.
Now, their Facebook profile, because they're talking to their friends, et cetera, it's much more likely you're going to see glimpses of who they really are. You're going to see, you know, older, unguarded moments.
Yeah, but everybody has
a private. If you look hard enough.
Everyone has a private profile anyway, though. So it's
yeah,
you're only
yeah.
going to have so much access to a person.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, especially because that's always evolving as far as what people can see, what people can't see. You approve everything you're tagged. I mean, all that's changed
yeah.
over the last, you know, 5 years that I've had a Facebook. So
yeah, it might be where they're asking, I need to see what it looks like on private. But that's going to give you know,
I guess, yeah. I mean, I don't
yeah.
know. But I get why, but it's you're kind of – you're expecting everybody's going to jump through your hoops too. So
yeah.
It's kind of weird because, I mean, there are a lot of guys who are just going to be like, what? Why? Because I don't put an emphasis on Facebook, and I never post anything on Facebook anyway. So it's
no.
like, well, what do you want to see? That I'm actually me? Like, my Facebook profile is a cartoon drawing of me, which the last 2 profiles I've had, which have been over the last almost year and a half, have both been cartoon versions of me that were done by other people. And I kind of like that. Not that I'm hiding anything. I just like these caricatures of me. And I don't post anything on Facebook, so it's not like I'm hiding anything. But I don't feel the need to change my profile pic every 3 days.
Yep. yep
Seems
yep.
silly. But yeah, man, it's a whole new world for us.
Absolutely.
When it comes to this, when it comes to dating and interacting, and you've definitely opened me up a little bit into doing this. And you know, we're in a city, we're single.
Oh yeah.
There are other people. Where the hell are you going to meet them, honestly? Unless you want to talk to a girl who's in line at the supermarket, it's probably not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Are you going to talk to somebody who's also waiting for their coffee? yeah, to be handed to them from the barista? Probably not. So
a lot of people do it through work social circles as well. But yeah,
but that is the chance of getting awkward too.
Definitely, yeah, and always have it in the back of your mind, you're going to meet people you would never have. Well, you have the chance to know about people that you would have never
totally
known about.
You wouldn't have come across them.
Never would have come across them. You know.
So and, yeah, there is that element of it too.
Yeah. It's fun. It's, you know, it's something curious to look at. You kind of give you an idea of what's going on in people's heads, what their priorities are, etc. You know, on a mass scale, which it's just interesting. If you know, for the amateur sociologist or amateur anthropologist, it's just fun to look at.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a study in people watching, at least from more of a distance than being out in the world. But yeah, it's interesting to see. Even like I said, just cruising through. On your account and looking at the different metrics and looking at the details, I thought, okay, so at least I have an idea. You know, I know the tall thing at least works in my favor, and I know if they're not willing to meet in person or if they want to, you know, like what I regard as jumping through hoops, if they want to say I want to talk and then see if we have a connection and then we can meet up, I'm thinking, well, that kind of defeats the purpose of dating. If you're going to go on a date, fine, but it doesn't need to mean everything just because you're meeting someone in person.
Yeah, so, I think they want an out. They want like a coffee type situation meetup, so that if it turns out that there's really no chemistry, because like I said, you don't really know the person until you meet. There's no chemistry, or they're crazy, or they're, you know, they said they were looking for a date but they're really trying to hook up with you.
That's what, or there are people I think this is probably more, not to say people who aren't in relationships. I'm sure plenty of people on these sites are in relationships.
Yeah.
I think it's more likely that women might be on there to try and make someone jealous. Like, oh, look at all these guys who are interested in me, to try and make waves in their relationship. Yeah. I don't see guys doing that as much, because guys, I don't think, try to play into the jealousy. Again, totally stereotyping and making very broad assumptions. But I don't think that's as much of a factor for them. Yeah. So, yeah, not all of them may turn into something. But I can at least appreciate, too, when I saw, if I don't respond to you, it's nothing personal. Either they get a lot of messages like the woman you mentioned before, or it's just they don't see anything in your profile, then hey, it is nothing personal. You're just on there looking, and if you don't see anything that you like, it's like, oh, what's an easy way to let someone down through a message in a few sentences to say you're not interested, other than saying you're not interested? Well, then you're just going to pop as a dick anyway.
There's
no good way.
I think they took that away before. There was an option where it was like not interested.
That's
worse than just never replying to me.
Yeah, I'd rather just not get the reply.
To tell me no fucking way.
Totally. Like if you were online yesterday, then it's you probably were online today. Or if seven of your photos were uploaded using the app for a particular dating site, you're probably getting these messages, or you probably have a means of reading and replying. So
yeah,
if you don't want to, I think it's easier to just, like, if you don't get a reply, okay, you don't get a reply, but so what? Like that one site says plenty of fish. So
yeah,
well, this has been fun. This has been enlightening and yeah. and good to examine.
It's funny, I was reluctant.
The social spectrum.
Yeah, I was reluctant to appear on the show.
That's
and
all right.
I actually had a lot of fun, and it went by very fast.
Yeah, it's just you and I having a chat. That's all this is, man.
Yeah,
just sitting and having a conversation with each other. So thank you for, of course, sitting down. Sit there somewhat uncomfortably while I just kind of wrap things up. Don't forget, everybody, please like Chris Abalo's Podcast Experiment on Facebook. Follow the show on Twitter at Cape Pod. Follow me on Twitter at Chris Abalo, and visit chrisabalo.com. There are some weekly, bi-weekly blogs that are popping up on there, so stay tuned for that. And, of course, subscribe on iTunes. Give the show 5 stars. Write a little review. And that'll do it for this week. So, for James, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment.